Jesus Christ is the answer for whatever burden you brought with you. Amen. If you're a sinner and you've never been saved, He's come to save you. If you're a Christian and you have a burden in your heart today, He has come to lift that burden. So whoever you are, there's good news for you today. The scripture I've chosen today, it contains a prophecy of what God is going to do with the 10 northern tribes of Israel in the future. And that prophecy begins in Isaiah chapter 8. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 8. In honor of God's word, I'd like for you to stand as I read, beginning in verse 21, keeping in mind that this is talking about the 10 northern tribes of the nation of Israel. There, Isaiah writes, "They, these tribes, will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry, and it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. Then they will look to the earth and see trouble and darkness, gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil, for you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and for fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Thank you. You may be seated. The 10 northern tribes of Israel were in a terrible state. Ever since their very first king, Jeroboam, had led them astray, for over 200 years they had rebelled against God. 2 Kings chapter 17 chronicles their sordid history. They fell into worshiping idols of the nations around them, the nations whom God had destroyed right before their very eyes. When God sent prophets to call them to repentance, they stiffened their necks and they ignored the prophet's message. And they plunged further into ungodliness, climaxed by child sacrifices, soothsaying, and witchcraft. 2 Kings 17:22-23 sums up their demise in one sentence. And here's what it says: "For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They did not depart from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he said by all his servants, the prophets." God judged Israel, and it was not pleasant. History tells us that the Assyrians invaded Israel in 733 B.C., and they annexed some of their tribes for themselves. We just read how God greatly persecuted God's people, and part of that persecution was famine. They became very hungry, and they cursed their king for their plight. And they even looked up into the heavens and cursed God for their plight. Then they looked back down, and they saw all the trouble around them, and it was nothing but darkness and gloom of anguish. And they were plunged into greater despair. In chapter 9, Isaiah further describes their misery by saying they were living in distress and in the shadow of the land of death. Living in the shadow of death. Well, our world has come a long way since the days of Israel. But as I said in last week's message, some things never change. There were haters then, and there are haters now, and haters are going to hate. And when you look around and you see our world, you see the same thing Isaiah saw. Distress, darkness, and death. You know, I found it very interesting just this past week to read an article that contained the results of a survey taken last year. And the survey said that in 2015, there was a three-way tie among cities in our country that were the most Bible-oriented, the most Bible-minded. And would you believe that all three of those cities were in Alabama? They were Birmingham, Anniston, and Tuscaloosa. Now, can you imagine that? Our city was in a three-way tie for being the most Bible-minded city in the whole United States. But listen, even though we're Bible-saturated according to that survey, we are still saturated with people who are in distress and in despair. There's little Christmas joy in their lives today. And they're sitting in churches today, just like Grant's Creek, all around us. And you know what? You may have come in today, and you may be one of them. Well, I want to tell you, dear friends, no matter where your stress meter level is today, no matter how black the cloud is hanging over your head, I want to tell you, God has some good news for whoever you are today. God has some Christmas joy for you. God has laid out a plan in His Word whereby He's going to deliver Israel one day in the future. And He will use that same plan to deliver you today if you will submit your life to Him. I want you to look back at chapter 1, verse 1 of Isaiah 9. I'm going to read it again in the Holman Christian Standard Version. Here's what it says. Nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of former times when He humbled Himself in the land of Zebulun and in the land of Naphtali. In the future, but in the future, He will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, to Galilee of the nations. Now, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali represent all those 10 tribes we spoke of. Assyria overran them, they destroyed them, and they occupied that area. And thus, the northern tribes of Israel were called Galilee of the nations, or in the New King James Version, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, that was a humiliating thing. It would be like if Alabama was overrun by the Iranians and we were called Alabama of the Iranians. Can you imagine? They were also called by the way of the sea because a major trade route passed by Capernaum. But these nations, these northern tribes were humbled. They were reduced to being subjects of a hated enemy. And God is telling His children here, listen, better days are coming. Hang on, better days are coming. One day God will bring honor to this area that has been so disgraced. And beginning in verse 2 through verse 5, we see exactly how He's going to do it. Let's look at verse 2 again. Look at it. It says, the people who walked in darkness saw a great light. Darkness will be overcome by great light. Verse 3 says, you have multiplied the nations and increased the joy. Sorrow will be replaced by great joy. Verse 4 says, you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor in the day of Midian. Oppression will be replaced by great freedom, just like God gave Israel great freedom when he conquered the Midianites in the days of Gideon. Now, I want to stop right here, and I just want us to have a clear off a place and have a good old shout and spell at the grace of God, okay? Let's do that for a minute. We're talking about a nation who had been steeped in idolatry for hundreds of years. They had been rebellious. They had been as adulterous to their Heavenly Father as they possibly could have been. God calls Israel a stubborn calf in the book of Hosea. In Ezekiel, He says they do the deeds of a brazen harlot. For 700 years, except in the glory days of David and Solomon, they had committed adultery with every false god around and with the nations of the heathens. And when God punished them, every one of us would have to agree, they got what they deserved. And yet God still comes back to them and says, I still love you, and despite your sin, despite your unfaithfulness, I'm going to restore to you blessings and favor with me once again. That's what He said to these rebellious people. Now, friend, listen, let me tell you, I do not know what kind of baggage that you brought into church with you today. You know, you may have a baggage full of sin, just like Israel, and guilt haunts you every day. Your suitcase may be full of rejection. You've been butchered by the cutting words of a parent or a child or a spouse or an ex-spouse. And the bleeding won't stop, and the hurting won't quit hurting. Maybe you've got a backpack full of failure. You failed to get your education when you had the chance. You failed to get a good job. You failed to pay your bills. You fail in your attempts to serve God. Maybe your luggage is a physical malady that just is with you every day, and you live in pain every waking moment, and it just drags you down. You know, there are countless people today who bear the agony of sexual abuse. It's a monster. They can't outrun, even though they've been trying for years. Listen, you may be like a guy named Joseph Scriven. Let me tell you about him. You might have brought today with you a trunk full of sorrow like Joseph. Joseph was a man who grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth, so to speak, in Ireland. He had received a prestigious education. Life was great and the future was bright. But Joseph's charmed young life came to came caving in on him when the day before he was to get married to the love of his life, she drowned. Can you imagine? And so, running from the pain and sorrow, he moved from Ireland to Canada, and he became a teacher, and he began to pour his life into teaching young children and tutoring them. And in time, he fell in love again, and the pain that was now gone of his prior loss of his love, and he had a new love in his life, and he had the joy of a family and marriage in the prospects. But before he could get married to her, she fell sick, and she died. Can you imagine the heartache in that young man's life? Well, I don't know what kind of baggage you brought in with you today, but I do know this. God is saying to every one of you, I don't care how dark the night seems, there is hope. No matter what you have done, no matter what has been done to you, no matter how deep the well is you think you're in, and no matter how long you've been there, you can climb out and you can have a brand new life. God is saying that to everyone here. Now, I want you to look in Isaiah and just to see for a few moments how that's going to happen. I want you to look back to see how it's going to happen. Actually, rather, with whom it's going to happen. Verse 6. Look what Isaiah says. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Friends, listen. The answer for whatever ails you today, for whatever problem that is causing you to be defeated today, is none other than a person named Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. He and He alone. He is our peace. He is the peace for aching hearts. He is the strength that we have to win our battles. It'll never come by windfall or promotion or the praises of men. Listen, your peace, your joy won't come by a new girlfriend or a new wife or a new boyfriend or a new husband. It will come by Jesus and Jesus alone. I want to share with you what He said and let you consider with me very, very intently here how He described Jesus' birth. What did He say? He said, unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. Now listen, He is not repeating Himself here. He is talking about a birth on earth, the birth of a child. He is talking about a gift from heaven, a son is given. He is talking about a human baby whose father just happened to be God. And with God as His Father and the Virgin Mary as His Mother, Jesus was different from any baby who was ever born. He was fully man as though He had never been God. He was fully God as though He had never been man. He was the God-man. Now, friends, listen. It is this unique character of Jesus that makes our faith so unique. above all other faiths. We're the only faith in this world that can say God has come to dwell with us. Our God has come to dwell with us. Our God has experienced every trial, every heartache we will ever experience. Our God has even succumbed to death on a cross, dying there and breaking the bonds of death 3 days later by His bodily resurrection. Listen, it was just not a spirit resurrection. It was a bodily resurrection. The grave is empty. And beloved, because He conquered death, hell, and the grave, no matter what trial you're going through today, I don't care what it is, you can know that that power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power to give you the victory. Now, in verse 6, let's look at it again and see what he says. The government will be upon his shoulder. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Now, what is Isaiah saying here? He is saying that Jesus is the ruler over all the world. One day Jesus will return. Listen, one day He's coming again. He will set up His kingdom in the new Jerusalem, and He will rule over the new heaven and over the new earth forevermore. And every dictator, every president, every king, you, me, every person that's ever drawn breath will bow our knee and we will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will do it one day, friend. You will bow and say, He is Lord. We will all do it. But listen, I want to tell you, friends, He is not going to wait till He gets here on earth to start reigning. He has been reigning forever. John says in 1:3, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. When Jesus created the heavens and the earth, He was ruling. Jesus was reigning when He wrestled with Jacob all night long at the brook of Jabbok. Jesus was reigning when He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. Jesus was reigning when He appeared to Joshua just before the battle of Jericho and said, Joshua, take off your shoes. The ground you're on is holy ground. Jesus was reigning when He walked in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Jesus was reigning when He appeared to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. And He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And friends, Jesus Christ is reigning right now. He's reigning right now. And in verse 6 of our text, He shows us four blessings He'll give to anybody from His throne who will receive them by faith. And if Jesus Christ is your Savior today, every one of these are yours for the claiming. They're all in verse 6, and we're going to look at them one by one. The first blessing Jesus has for you, if you are His child, is the perception of who He is. The perception of who He is. Verse 6 says, His name will be called Wonderful. Beloved, listen, we serve a God of wonder. When the angel of the Lord came to Manoah, who was Samuel's father, and Manoah asked the angel of the Lord, give me some instructions about how to raise this child. And then Manoah looked at the angel and said, what is your name? Now, this angel was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. And this angel says, why do you ask me my name? My name is Wonderful. Now, what he was saying was this. Listen, there's no need to ask me my name. It is too wonderful for me to describe. It is too vast. It is too magnificent. I can't tell you in human words how wonderful it is. Just take my word for it. My name is Wonderful. Now, friends, listen, we serve a God of wonder. The psalmist says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. He is a God of excellence, wonder, and His name is Jesus. But listen, friends, the lost world does not have a clue. People who are not saved cannot see the wonder of Jesus. Their eyes are blinded, and they don't think He's no big deal to them. But to those who've had our eyes opened, to those who are saved by His grace, listen, even though we see through a glass darkly, we still see how wonderful He is. And it blesses our hearts to know that this wonderful God is living inside of us. And one day we're going to be with Him forever and ever, for His name is wonderful. We have a perception of how great and mighty Jesus is. And it blesses us. I want to ask you today, are you blessed today by how Jesus is wonderful? His name is wonderful. We have a perception of who He is. We have something else. We have a perspective of what He knows. The Bible says He is Counselor. Beloved, let me tell you, this life is a maze that is too complicated for you and I to figure out. But God looks down on this maze of our life, and God sees the beginning, God sees the end, and God sees everything in between. He knows every turn we should take to make it through this maze to the other side. And you know what most people are doing? They're not following God's leadership because they don't know God, and they're going into one direction. They're butting their head against the wall. They're going to another direction. They're butting their head against that wall. And they're just walking around in this maze, and they'll never get out. But God says His name is Counselor because He gives a perspective on life, and He knows it all. You know what the Bible says in Colossians 2, verse 3? It says, in Jesus is hidden all the riches of wisdom and knowledge. Everything you need to know about your life that's going to make you successful, Jesus knows it. He knows it. James says in his word, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Solomon said, the Lord giveth wisdom, and from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He is our Counselor. He will give wisdom to you if you know Him and ask Him for it. Well, He gives us a third blessing. He gives us the power of what He does. The Bible says He is the mighty God. I love what Daniel says about God in Daniel chapter 2, verse 23. Listen to what he says. He says, I thank and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. Now, do you get that? God just does not give us wisdom and say, okay, here's the path. Go down this path. Good luck. No. God is the God who gives us might to walk the path. Here's what Paul said to the Ephesians. He prayed for them. He said, listen, I pray that you will know the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. God says, Ephesians, I want to give you the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Paul said to the Philippians, he said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Listen, friends, if you think you're challenged today, God says you can do all things through me. Jesus says that. You can endure any heartache. You can endure any challenge. You can win victories over any challenge. All the demons of hell cannot stop you from doing God's will because Jesus gives you all might. He is the mighty God. He is the mighty God. Now think about these three things for a moment. He is the perception. He gives us the perception of who He is. He gives us the perspective of what He knows. He gives us the power of what He does. Now let me ask you, what more is there that you need in this life? You know Him. You know His grace. You know He's wonderful. That blesses you. He gives you total wisdom. He gives you the power to follow His wisdom. That is all you need in this life, friends. All you need. But what about the next life? This life is just as a vapor. What about the life to come? That's the most important thing. Well, listen, here's what Isaiah says about that. He says He is the everlasting Father. Now, there's a better translation of that phrase, everlasting Father. A better translation is, He is the Father of eternity. He is the Lord of eternity. Jesus said in John 5, 22, the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Friends, listen, everything eternal comes through Jesus Christ. God has committed everything about eternity to His Son. That's the reason Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. you get to heaven, you go through the everlasting Father, the Father of eternity, Jesus Christ, who laid down His life for your sins. That's why you go through Jesus, because He's the one who paid for every sin you committed. And He's the only one that can forgive you for those sins. He is the everlasting Father. So you see, He's covered all the bases. There's nothing He's left out of what we may need today. He's provided for every need you have in this life. And He's provided that you will pass over into eternity to live with Him if you will place your faith in Him to forgive you for all your sins. It's such a simple thing. You just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, but You can save me. I turn from my sins. I turn to You. Take full control. And by faith, here I am. Take me, Jesus. And it's a done deal. That's what it means to be saved. Now, when you wrap all that together, what's the end result? He sums it up in the very last designation of Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Friends, listen. When you know everything, all these blessings, you just have peace in your heart. All is well. All is well. It is well with my soul. Do you remember Joseph Scriven? I told you about earlier. The fellow who lost two fiancés. Tragically, brokenhearted both times. He knew this peace. He knew this peace. He knew what it was all about. Sometime after he lost his second fiancé, his mother began to go through some hard times in Ireland. He wanted her to have the same peace he had in his heart, that Jesus was there. He would take her through anything she needed to go through. And so he sat down and wrote her a poem to encourage her. I think most of you have heard this poem before. It goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we needless bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I want you to notice one last thing before we close today that Isaiah wrote. Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." If you're a Bible marker, underline that word in red ink. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And hear what God is saying to you today. Listen, beloved. Just as surely as Jesus was born to Mary, Jesus was born to you. It says, unto us a child is born. Jesus was born to you. Now listen, think about Mary for a moment. Jesus was born to Mary. She had the privilege of birthing the Son of God. And she loved Him. And she cared for Him. And she met His every need. And she was overjoyed when He smiled for the first time and had that little chuckle, and she saw Him take those first steps. And from a little kid that just was like any other normal kid to a strapping teenager to a godly young man, she saw that, and she had that great joy because He was born to her. Now, Jesus was not born to you in that same manner, but just as surely as Jesus was born to Mary, Jesus was born to you. And just as surely as those shepherds heard the angel say, "Glory to God," and just as surely as the angels pointed them to the cradle because He was born to the shepherds, just as surely as the angels pointed those shepherds to the cradle, He's pointing you and me to the cross, and He's saying, go to the cross. That Savior there was born to you. I want to ask you, are you taking Jesus as seriously as Mary took Him? She took it serious that Jesus was born to her. How serious do you take it that Jesus was born to you? Do you love Him like Mary loved Him? Have you come to Him and said, Lord Jesus, I need You in my life? That's what Mary said, by the way. When God came to her and said, you're going to be the Son of God, she said, behold, the servant of the Lord. Have you said that? Behold, the servant of the Lord. Here I am, Jesus. Friends, let me tell you, until you have missed Christmas. And some people, many people, are old. And they've never had a true Christmas. Because they've never experienced it with Jesus. I urge you today, let your Christmas today be filled with joy because you experience it with Jesus Christ. Submit to Him as your Savior if you've never have. And if you have, submit yourself again. It'll be the best Christmas you have ever had.